What's up, everybody? This is Breach of the Week. I am Zach. This week, we are actually going to carry on a discussion that I had started on Tuesday about basically the intersections of cybersecurity and real-world disasters. And in this case, we're talking about a virus, viruses online interacting with viruses in real life. We now have a report that just came out from Cynet, which is a cybersecurity company, that talks about the impact of COVID-19 on cybersecurity. So some of the highlights that came out of this are that things that we expected, things that I talked about earlier, basically the bad guys are trying to leverage the confusion and frustration of, email users, people who are relying much more heavily on their IT infrastructure, and trying to engage them in new creative ways. And some of the statistics that come out of this report, which is really just based on this year's data and is somewhat anecdotal just because it's a single company, but it's a fairly well-researched report. The cyber criminals are actually using essentially everything they can to throw at people, primarily through email delivered malware. And some interesting things that they initially found was that, in general, you can expect around 20% of attacks to use new techniques. So these are, techniques that wouldn't necessarily get picked up through an automated process, maybe not through threat hunting, which, by the way, we've just released two blog posts, or at least one. The other one should be up today on threat hunting and building intelligence on those types of things. But in other words, 80% of attacks are using pretty standard, well-known techniques that, we already know and can capture. The 20% that you miss are, it's the stuff that's a little bit more challenging, and it's the reason that you, add on additional layers besides just basic email protection. However, what they found since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic is that instead of the standard 20% being essentially novel attacks, the new attacks are actually around 35%. And the way that they have described this is basically that the cyber criminals are not using a single technique to try to lure people to click on the malware, and that they're using essentially every technique at their disposal at once. The actual report can be downloaded from Cynet. And there's a pretty good summary from thehackernews.com. This just recently came out. I think it was out on the 16th, which will be yesterday. The way that they recommend is using, extended detection and response, and managed in detection and response, both services that just happen to be provided by New Harbor Security. Essentially creating what we always recommend, which is multiple layers of protection to keep, the space, defensive space between you and the bad guys. And again, this also highlights one of the biggest weaknesses that you always find with dealing with cybercrime. And that is basically that you still have to have, the human factor of someone clicking and, potentially downloading the malicious software, which the way that they sort of laid out, the way that they've identified it is that basically they've got 12% is a weaponized document, which is an office exploit, so that's fairly standard. That's not something that's new. 35% of the malware was distributed through an email link to malware distribution site. Like, this one should be fairly obvious. People should not be clicking on sketchy links, but hidden links and well-made templates can also throw people off. So it is possible. 32% through a weaponized document through a macro, and then 21% containing suspicious or malicious executables. So the actual software, you're just basically running an executable file right out of the email. So yeah. And again, like one of the things that I had talked about on Tuesday was that when you've got, people who are already sort of overwhelmed with bad information or receiving information that isn't clear from all directions, and they're trying to get good information, they're more apt to click on something that they don't mean to. So in many cases you can, and in fact, I think we've talked about this in previous episodes, you've got bad guys that will hide, you know, these links and the bad documents attached to the email in emails that look legitimate from, you know, for instance, like the CDC, the state health department. People are fearful, so they will click on links that look like they're going to provide life-saving information potentially. So it's really important that you train, well, particularly yourself, in how to recognize emails that, you know, you shouldn't be opening, which, you know, most often it's really just like, did I sign up for this? Is this a email that I've received before? Is there a reason I would be getting an email from, you know, this organization? And do I have a, you know, do I trust it enough to click on anything or download anything? And then the other thing is, you know, to use some basic, you know, cyber sleuthing, if you will, and just actually before you click on links or before you click on documents, you know, use, you know, some common sense and check the URL to make sure that it matches whatever the link is. You know, a lot of times it's pretty obvious that it's not legitimate once you actually look and see where it's supposed to be sending you. And then the other thing is to make sure that, like, if you're a leader within an organization, that you're telling your staff, you know, hey, keep an eye out for this stuff, and that you are ensuring that your systems are prepared for this and can recognize it. And again, like I said, we had two blog posts we just released. One is basic threat intelligence, and that's talking about the cycle for gathering and analyzing threat intelligence so that you can later input it into, you know, your security program. And then one that will be out today is called Threat Hunting Basics. And this is basically, you know, talking about how, you know, there's a certain point where your systems, you know, no longer can actually pick up things through an automated process, or they will, but it's not necessarily sorted clearly enough, or the pattern isn't getting picked up on by the software. So this is why, you know, Justin hammers this all the time. You really want a human at some point in the chain of, you know, operations to make sure that, yes, the machine is collecting all this information. It's doing a great job and it's sorting through a lot of noise, but the machine may not pick up on patterns that a human does. Humans are really good at picking up on patterns and recognizing patterns. So, you know, I highly recommend you read both those. I'll put links to those blogs into the show notes so that you can check them out. And, you know, again, one of the things with like threat hunting and threat intelligence is that basically you need to, you know, have a program that fairly rapidly adapts to whatever the threat environment is. So in the case of COVID and in the case of the report that Cynet produced, things that we could rely on before, which is that sort of, you know, 20% of attacks are novel, or at least not a common threat that we've faced in the past. So obviously the other 80% are things that systems should be picking up and recognizing. You know, that's almost doubled now to almost 40% of techniques that, you know, may get missed by standard systems. So in order to stay on top of this, you have to make sure that you have people who are, you know, and software that's continuously upgrading, evaluating, and assessing current threats, that you're feeding it good information from, you know, all of the sort of standard sources. And if you're not doing that, you know, you're sort of relying on a static system, you know, you can expect that you're probably, you know, putting yourself at a much higher risk. If you've got nothing in place, or you need to, you know, potentially increase your security capabilities, visit us, www.newharborsecurity.com. And we can help you get this set up. Like we said, we've got all sorts of systems that are designed to capture this, as well as the human element to sort through the noise and make sure that, you know, new and emerging threats are captured. And we can certainly adapt and quickly maneuver ourselves to help protect you from threats like this, even if, you know, they're relatively novel. And certainly, you know, through our systems partnerships that we have, you know, our goal is to, you know, limit the impact of, you know, these types of events. And again, you know, it may even come down to just some, you know, basic guidance and training for your staff so that they're better prepared for this. If you enjoyed this podcast, this is our breach of the week. You can like, share, subscribe, send it to your friends, tell family, just listen to us. That's all we want. And we will be back next week with more good breaches. One of which is very near and dear to all of us. And that is a breach at Dunkin' Donuts. As most of the cybersecurity world knows, coffee really is the fuel to cybersecurity. So we'll definitely be looking into that one. And yeah, we'll be back. See you, bye.